I was born into a family that practiced witchcraft. Many of you were born into a Baptist church or into some type of strong Christian fundamental background. It's hard for you to understand how a person could become involved in witchcraft because all you've known is Christianity. But I was born into a family that has always been in witchcraft. Our family tree has no gap except myself for leaving. My grandparents that raised me were not involved in it, but they believed in it. And other than that, our family has always been members of it. The pastor introduced me as John Todd, but that was not our name until about 100 years ago. We lived in Massachusetts, our family. We were called the Collinses. And prior to the Civil War, there had been so much knowledge at that time that the Collins family brought witchcraft to the United States that they migrated to Pennsylvania and Ohio and changed their name. And if you'll go home and you'll get out a map and look at Massachusetts, look around the Salem, Massachusetts area, you will find Francis Collins Bay or Collins Port. And this is exactly where witchcraft landed by ship owned by Francis Collins in 1626 when the first Puritans landed in the area. They were on the same ship with them. In fact, the ships that the Puritans first came over on were owned by the Collins family. They had to leave Scotland because they were being hunted for practices of witchcraft. So that's more or less, as people left England for religious persecution, so did the witches. And that's how it came about. Very quickly, before I go on, if you're wondering that's how come the Salem witch trials began, you're wrong. The Salem witch trials were ordered by the Collinses. And I invite people, if sometime you're in Massachusetts, to stop into the Essex Museum. Be prayerful, because it took us a week to convince them to let us in to look at the manuscripts. But the people that were executed, except for one prostitute, were all Christians. They were the strongest Christians in the area. And the pastor who did the original trials was not a pastor. He was a slave trader from Boston that the Collins family had hired to pastor the church that they had built in Salem. It's a little different from what you read in your history, but it is factual. In fact, it's coming out in a new book from Chick Publications on what really happened there. But this is the family that I'm from. So all my life, I only knew witchcraft until 1972. I knew no other way. I went to a Christian church for about 5 years when I was a young person, just because I had nothing else better to do. But it didn't impress me, and I laughed at most of the services. And I never heard any real gospel preached there, except for a Sunday school teacher who had bragged that she was saved in one of Billy Sunday's meetings. And she would take us off to her home, and she would teach us the Word of God in her home on Saturday afternoons because she couldn't teach it at the church. And one of the things, she played a very important part later in my life. She taught the book of Revelation in a way that just was not being taught at the time. And when she would talk about a world government and a world ruler and a world church, all of us kids would snicker. But then she'd talk about that world church being half witchcraft, and I quit snickering because my whole family was witches and nobody knew it. It was a very well-guarded secret. And people, I guess, expect to find witches wearing black capes and fangs coming out of their mouths, flying on broomsticks, even worse on the nose, and pointed hats. But this isn't the case. And if your children go to public school, to junior high and high school, I guarantee they brush shoulders with witches every day. Probably their teachers. In fact, my wife can tell you, as 95% of the people that are involved in witchcraft that have gotten in the last 3 years were, of course, my wife was an exception. She was in witchcraft over 10 years ago when she was initiated. But the practice is 95% of the people now that join witchcraft are inducted by their high school and junior high school teachers. So I invite your parents to do some snooping If parents, you're sending them anywhere but a Christian school, I'll pray for you. That's all I can say about it. I have no benefits to have come my way if you send your children to Christian schools. It's all for their benefit. But I just went to school like anybody else. Nobody knew any different. And when I was 13, I was told it was now time to train for the priesthood. So I joined what is called the outer court. I want to watch the terms very carefully. So if there are any people in witchcraft here, they'll know I'm speaking the truth if they don't know me personally. And I went into the outer court. I was schooled in the rites and the laws of the Wicca Church. And then I was taken and initiated when I turned 14. There's no set age. My sister was a witch queen over the whole state of Ohio when she was 13. There is no set age. She had thousands of people much older than her, adults, that took her word as every command. But at 14, I was taken and initiated. I would enjoy talking to any Masons that are here after the service. I can lay you my initiation right out beside yours and my vow of secrecy out beside yours, and they're identical. There is nothing different in it. Absolutely word for word. I would enjoy discussing the matter with you. But, in fact, this is shocking to me when I got saved and found this out. I was discussing my initiation rite one day with a third level Mason, and he said, "But that's what I did." I said, "Well, hello, Brother Witch." I mean, if you do what a witch does to become a witch, whether you know it or not, you are one. So I was initiated, and at 18, I was made a high priest. Now, since the Wicca Church, Church of All Worlds, and various brotherhoods like the Satanic Brotherhood of America, I want to stop for a minute before I go on here. I noticed in the bulletin that it said high priest of Satan. I may have been that, but I didn't know it. The whole time that I was in witchcraft, Satanism was frowned upon. When I later became a Grand Druid, I had to give orders to people in the Satanic Brotherhood of America, but witches always thought they were very dumb. Now that I'm a Christian, I consider they were smarter than the witches. They were always telling us the God we were serving was Satan, and that was the only God of witchcraft. And we always thought they were dumb because no witches believe in Satan. They believe he is a fable created by the Christian Church. But since the particular church I belong to was drastic sin, it's a recognized church. In fact, as of several years ago, the federal government spends millions of dollars a year in forming chaplain services in federal penitentiaries with a paid priest, or if it's a woman's prison, a paid high priestess to conduct the services as a chaplain. But it is draft exempt. I received a 4D status. It means that as an ordained minister, I didn't have to go serve. But some of us younger high priests had decided that a good thing would be to start witchcraft within the military services. Well, since the U.S. government didn't consider we were good enough to be chaplains, we decided we would be unofficial chaplains. So we enlisted. And I will say, when witchcraft gets started, it grows very quickly. By the time I was discharged in 1968 to 70, every military base in Europe and the United States of all four services had a coven at that base, a priesthood functioning. So it does grow very rapidly. But I went through the service. In fact, when I was ready to be discharged in 1970, I re-enlisted. I'd come back from Vietnam, re-enlisted, and went to Germany. Served 30 days of a six-year term. And got in an incident in Stuttgart, Germany one night where an officer was killed. And I was arrested and placed in solitary confinement waiting court-martial. Now up to this time, I thought witchcraft was witchcraft. Just like Baptists were Baptists, witches were witches, and that was all there was to it. Our religion was a little different than everybody else's, but it was just that, our religion. It may have had a lot of supernatural power to it. We might have thought we were the only answer, but that's all there was. except when I sit there in solitary confinement, I sent word out with the person that was leaving the prison to call my foster mother and say, help. I thought simply she would cast a spell upon the tribunal that was going to be trying me, and they would think I was a real nice guy and dismiss the whole case, which happens a lot. That was no joke. But something different happened. 3 days later, my cell door opened. 3 days from the time the man made the phone call, my cell door opened and an honorable discharge was handed to me. They had told me my court-martial records were destroyed and my 201 file had a top-secret security clearance on it and nobody could touch it. Since then, I found out because of a fire in St. Louis, that file has been destroyed. I've always kind of wondered what the real cause of the fire was. But needless to say, I was a civilian. Now, the cause of it was a congressman and a state senator who later became attorney general standing there, ordering it to be done. I've showed my military papers across the United States, my discharge papers. Military experts cannot understand it. Here is a man with 6 years left of military service receiving an honorable discharge with no explanation why. All of his time and grade and rank, and no explanation why the military is discharging him with a complete honorable discharge. So, very confused person, I said, man, that must be a really good spell, or something's going on. So I just simply flew back, was discharged not far from Philadelphia, Fort Dix, the next day, and left immediately for Ohio to see my real mother. I said, what is going on here? You've been a witchcraft a long time. I would like to know what's happening. And she said, all I know is they figured you'd either show up here or Los Angeles. Here is an envelope, a one-way ticket, $2,000. The one-way ticket's to New York. Get on the next plane and I'll tell them you're coming. I said, who are you telling that I'm coming? She said, you'll know when you get there. So very confused but very intrigued, I got on the plane. I flew from Columbus, Ohio to New York, got off the plane, walked into the terminal, and there was a man who had only seen his picture before, a man that all witches respected greatly at that time, Dr. Raymond Buckland. He was then head of the anthropology department at Columbia University. He met me at the terminal and took me to his home, and I stayed at his home, trained under him for a while, served apprenticeship. Everything that I had been taught in witchcraft so far, he told me was just propaganda, and he taught me a completely new way. I cannot get mad at young witches who think they know it all and think that I'm crazy when I give my testimony. That's because they're young witches. If they were in it long enough, they would find out different. And then I went down to Essex. There's some more training. Went to Los Angeles. There's some more. Was taken to Colorado Springs and placed through an initiation that made me a Grand Druid, sixth level. I was placed on a council of 13. Before I go on, I would like everybody to do something. Reach into your billfold. I'm not taking an offering, so you don't have to get nervous, and take out a $1 bill. Now, you can drop it in the offering plate later, but that's not what it's for right now. I have to apologize. We're usually much more prepared. We have posters that show in great detail what I'm about to say. But because of snowstorms in various areas of the country and traffic problems we've had, we weren't able to pick these up and bring them with us. But on the back of the $1 bill is the Great Seal of the United States, both the front and the back. The back side, the one with the capstone and pyramid and eye of providence on it, is what we're interested in. If you'll go checking, you'll find out this seal, the reverse side of the Great Seal, has never, ever, not one time, sealed a document in the United States. There is a reason it is not sealed. It is more important than the other side. We adopted it in the 1800s, but it existed from May 1st, 1776. And down at the bottom, you'll see some Latin. it says this new order that began in 1776. I invite you, if you have some encyclopedias, to do some research on this. This is the Great Seal of the Illuminati. Now, if you don't know what that word means, it means the light bearers, the bearers of Lucifer, literally what it means. Created by the Rothschilds, and this seal was created by their instructions. The pyramid and the capstone is the whole structure of the Illuminati. The pyramid contains 13 blocks there. It actually has three pyramids and contains hundreds in each one. At the top of the pyramid, there are three blocks that are in all of the pyramids. They never change. The top one is the Council of 13. This is what I was just, my testimony, I was just initiated at. This is where I served when I was saved, called the Grand Druid Council. There is nothing that gives them orders except that capstone. That's called the Rothschild Tribunal. And the eye is Lucifer, and that's who gives the capstone orders. Under the Grand Druid directly is the Council of 33. That's the 33 highest masons in the world. The next is the 500. That is the world banking system. After that, the pyramids change. The first one are organizations and lodges. The next one is political. And the last one is occult. But the real power of the Illuminati is the Sphinx. And it's actually the organizations that the 500 own and make up that give the Illuminati their power. Their power is money. Their power is finance. With finance, there's, in witchcraft, there is a thing called a rood, R-U-D-E, that is a saying, a spoken law by witches. One of them that attests to the power of the Illuminati is, let the kings be kings, let the bankers be bankers, and the priests be priests. It literally means, let whoever wants to rule, rule the country, because the bankers rule the kings, and the priests rule the bankers. And that's exactly how the system is set up. If you wonder how witches could tell politicians and millionaires what to do, you as a Christian would call, I'll use the term Babylon system. Witches call it a Druid system. In all of the pagan countries of the world, the kings ruled the country, but they took their orders from the temple. They always took their orders from the priests and the priestesses in the temple, who took their orders from the pagan gods, who are actually Lucifer. That's how it's set up. A coven is nothing more than carries on the old pagan rites that were in the temple of Diana, the temple of Isis, the temple of Kurnos, and temples around the world. They were all the same rites created by Satan, and that's what goes on in a witchcraft coven. When I was initiated, I was given 13 states. This wasn't one of them, sorry. But Ohio was, close enough. But Mrs. Raymond Buckland run this state. She still does. It's part of her territory. She lives in New York. In fact, I believe the pastors here have a copy of the Grand Druid Council as it exists today. But I was told everything that the council had ever done since its creation in 1776, and I was told of what our plans were now, brought up to date. I moved to San Antonio, declared that to be the place that I would live. And I lived there until I was saved. Simply living in downtown San Antonio, one of our buildings, meeting 8 times a year around the world in council meetings. The last council meeting that I sat at was August the 1st, 1972, called Latimus, which is named for the Sabbath. At that council, several things happened that made me one out. Most witches of a high degree one out. The only reason they stay in is they're afraid they'll be killed if they leave. In fact, before I was initiated as a Grand Druid, I had thought of getting out, except they executed one witch in a very cruel way in Los Angeles and left her in a position that declared to all witches that it was a witchcraft killing, and that you better not try the same thing. They left her in what is called the tarot card position of the hangman. That was Sharon Tate. They cut her throat and left her hanging upside down by 1 foot. And to people that were where I was at the time, quickly can change your mind if you're considering leaving. Never had the Christian church been considered as a way out. Never had the blood of Jesus been an answer. It had never been considered anything but a foolish state of mind to be a Christian, or else be most witches still Christians of either as fools or as dangerous. They fear Christians greatly. The fear is seen in them and just soaked in through their training, to their literally brainwashed, that a Christian is dangerous, that all a Christian wants to do is kill them. So when I was there in San Antonio on August the 1st, some documents were brought to us by a courier of the London Embassy, a member of the State Department. Had the great seal of the United States on it. It was untouchable for a customs agent to open this pouch. It was left. I was hosting the council meeting that day in San Antonio at the casino building. The pouch was brought into the table we were setting at the temple. The courier left. The seal was cut. Dr. Buckland took the envelopes out and opened each one, which were sealed in wax, with that seal on the back of the $1 bill, the Illuminati crest. But most of them were business things, and the last two were letters that Philip Rothschild had personally penned. One was a timetable that they believed, if nothing went wrong with that timetable, they could own the whole world under their control by 1980, the end of it. I want to say, nothing has went wrong with that timetable. Next, I have to kind of elaborate on that, I think. Nothing has went wrong with the timetable, but one thing has slowed them down. They were running a test case in Massachusetts on a gun law, and they thought it would win, and it was defeated. It has set several plans back in their timetable, but they still expect them to come off on time. After that, a letter was opened, and it says, we proclaim to you that we now have the son of Lucifer, and he is ready to take the throne. In which language, it simply meant, we now have a man who can bring peace to the world. Of course, you may have to kill 2/3 of the world to bring it about, but he can bring peace to the world. Reading these two envelopes and remembering my Sunday school teacher's teachings, I said, what's this, the closest exit door? I turned around, I said, look, isn't this in the Christian Bible? I don't know how I got out of that place in one piece. There was such a riot amongst the other 12 members. I said, well, it was just a passing statement, so I said, excuse me. And I got out of there, but I never let it go. And 30 days later, as a Baptist minister, I decided enough was enough. San Antonio was so bad with witchcraft that if you were caught in the public schools with a Christian Bible or any literature of Christian faith, you would be suspended for 2 weeks. It's still in effect. It was so outstanding that the newspapers proclaimed that every junior high school had at least one coven and every high school had at least three functioning. In fact, Thomas Jefferson High School had just had a huge scandal of how a coven they knew existed, but they couldn't find the members. The police had the information how they had been doing 8 times a year, these teenagers, human sacrifice. So this was the condition it was in at the time. They were even talking of building a church that would cost $10 million. The stained glass window for it was already made, and it cost them $100,000. And they already had the land in downtown San Antonio. It was going to be a Bible college and a church. One of my brainchilds, you'll have to excuse me. They were ready to go with it, and I praise the Lord that because I got saved, and the publicity that hit the fan when it happened, they backed off. The land's still sitting there, the stained glass window's still sitting there, but there's no building. But the Baptist preacher decided enough was enough, and he went looking for me. He found me in one of the occult stores. I was supposed to be there by accident that day, but I firmly believe now it was God infinite. There's a difference. And he came in, he started to witness to me, and I just, as we say, I read him the riot act. I told him where the door was. I didn't want to hear this lie, and he could just stop any old time. So he said, well, I understand from reading the Word of God how I can't get through to you because of what's in you. So I take authority over us in you, and I bind it up in the name of Jesus, and I command it to stop communicating to you. I bind your power of witchcraft in the name of Jesus, and I command Satan to stop giving you any of his benefits, and I kind of laughed at him because I didn't believe it's Satan, including drugs. I cut them off from you in Jesus' name. And to protect you from the devil trying to take your life, if he fears that he'll lose you, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. I don't know where he got his knowledge, but he handled everything right. He turned around and left out of there after he said the prayer. And I just kind of standing there not knowing what to do. So I went upstairs and did what I usually did. I did a fix. I weighed 149 pounds at that time. Was on $150 a day worth of methadrine crystal speed, mainlining it. So I went up and did the rest of what I was had up in my stash. No reason to worry. I had over $1 million worth of drugs coming across the border that night. Why should I worry? Only problem was that Baptist preacher had authority over the devil. As those drugs crossed the border that night, they were busted. They were confiscated. They never reached me. So in a panic, I crawled around the country and said, help. So finally I found some of the speed that I wanted. And people in Ohio said, it'll be there to you. Just hang on. We'll get it there Tuesday morning. Except you don't tell a person addicted as bad as I was to wait 2 days. But nevertheless, Monday night rolled around. And by then I was practically insane, if not already insane. So I got in a car, was going to pull it out of the parking lot that I had in downtown San Antonio, wrecked the car, almost drove it into the river there. As I tried to get out, just left it set and walked off. I went for a walk. Walked about 4 blocks and came up on a movie theater. I said, well, this is a good way to try to get my mind off of what's happening. I paid the thing and didn't even look at what was playing and walked in. I mean, it was just a regular theater. I had no way of knowing that the Cross and the Switchblade was playing there. So I walked in where the reporters were taking the pictures of Pat Boone playing Nicky Cruz up there with his Bible up in the air, and I said, I almost turned around and went back out again. So I sit down, I watched the thing, and I got greatly involved with Nicky Cruz. You'd have to understand the mentality that we were in at that time, or I was in. Nicky Cruz was more of a hero than Dave Wilkinson was. And I sat there and I thought, this guy's pretty good, except that he changed. He got saved. He was born again and changed. And that was impossible to my mind. The base teaching of witchcraft. No witch could cast a spell. No witch could mix a potion if it were not for astrology. It would be impossible to practice witchcraft without the teaching of astrology. And the cornerstone of astrology is that you are born of a set personality and you cannot change. And when this man came, and this teaching had been taught to me since I was 5 years old, I couldn't believe it. It was impossible. That's supposed to be a true story. At least I thought it was. I didn't doubt it. So in a lot of confusion, nevertheless, I turned around and walked out of the theater. A young man walked up to me. Out of all the people coming out of the theater, I was the only one he walked up to. He handed me a tract and turned around and walked off. Now, I wasn't wearing a pentagram. I wasn't having any markings that I was in witchcraft. But he walked up and handed me the only existing tract at that time on witchcraft. And as I read the thing, it was a Chick Publications tract called Bewitched. As I read it, it had a lot of things wrong with it. But it did get through in a way that more that the man gave it to me than anybody else. And I felt that somebody was working with me. I threw the tract away because it said the devil was the power behind witchcraft, and every witch knew the devil didn't exist. So as I walked on back to the apartment, I lived in the casino building, had the whole floor to myself. There was a party going on at one of our clubs there called the Club Aquarius. I went back to the office, sit down, tried to think some things out. Decided that I needed some help. The only problem was, what do you do in a town where witchcraft owns half of the preachers? Has bought them off. Or blackmailed them off. and the ones they haven't, they're about destroyed. What do you do? I didn't have a membership list with me. I didn't have a control list with me, so I didn't know who I could call. If I made the wrong contact, I could get killed. So I simply thought for several hours and remembered the fact that one of our witches had come in the night before. It was a prostitute, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs how this coffee, Christian coffee house down by the Graham bus station, was ruining her business. I mean, how would you like the proposition of servicemen while somebody's there preaching the Word of God to them? It can just wreck your whole business, particularly if you happen to be a prostitute. So she was complaining this place had to be closed down. It was unique in itself that just 3 months before, it was a nightclub with burlesque in it, and a minister walked in uninvited and preached him an uninvited revival and got the strippers, the bartender, and the owners, and a bunch of customers, band members, everybody. About 18 people saved in 5 minutes. Now that's a moving revival. Rather than, you know, praying the place burned down, he prayed that he had reached them and they got saved, turned the place over to the church. The church was praying and fasting and they'd be saved. So I went over there, it's called the Green Gate Club, and I went in. Sign said to close at midnight, 2 a.m. I went in. Guy had stayed behind, left the door unlocked, stayed behind because the coke fountain had broke down just as he was ready to close the place, decided he had better stay to fix it. I firmly believe to this day that God breaks the coke fountain. So I walked in, I started talking to him, I sat down. We were okay as long as we were talking about my drug problem. But when I got to witchcraft, I saw him turn white. They called up the pastor about 3 a.m. and said, you know, I got this guy over here, blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, is his name Lance? And they said, yeah. And they said, well, this guy we've been praying for, just keep on witnessing to him. We'll go to prayer. So he kept on witnessing. Pretty soon, we were down on the knees, and he was praying. Then I was praying, and the Lord was saving. The Lord was cleaning up. The Lord was setting free. And I walked out. Different than I walked in. For the first time since the doctor had spanked me on my bottom as a baby, I was free. I had never been free because since I was a hereditary witch, I was born with the same demons that my parents already had. So I had never been free until that moment. Needless to say, less than about 12 hours, I was back at that coffee house saying, hey, I'd like to stay alive long enough to enjoy being a Christian. Could you get me someplace where they can't get to me? So, see, being a Grand Druid was no instant protection. Once I had become a Christian, my blood signature on the parchment paper had turned a different color. And once they checked the color of my signature and found out that it was yellowish green instead of kind of a brownish red, they would come looking for me. And they evidently they'd already found out about it because a few people were looking at me kind of funny. So I decided I had better leave. And the church, Castleville First Baptist, watched over me for quite a while. In fact, I guess the best time of my life is the first 6 weeks I was saved. Nobody was shooting at me. After that, I've been dodging bullets ever since. But we're in this ministry not to worry about things like that, but to get people saved, educate the church, reach people in the occult. Now, I've given my testimony, and what I think I'll do now for a little while, I'll let the pastor watch the watch, is if you have some questions and answers, I'll try and answer them.
Rock music. You've heard sermon after sermon on rock music. Let's hear it a little different today. Rock music is not just a new type of music. When I was in the occult world, it really disturbed me. We couldn't figure out why preachers were preaching against rock music. We couldn't figure out why they had caught on to what we had carefully done. Now, before I was even in the occult, before I was even 14 and initiated or anything, there was rock music. And it had carefully been planned out even back then by people that were around that had come from England and had planned it carefully out. I don't know if most of you know it, but the rock music as we know today didn't come from this country. It came from overseas. It came from England. The Beatles originally, in some English groups, got the rock music as we know it today done. Now, parents, I'm sure you go in and yell at your kids, turn that down. and you know, you just go around and you might hear it in the background and stuff, but you don't listen to the words. It wouldn't matter, because as we showed in chapel Friday, the kids don't listen to the words either. Out of a whole chapel, both sections almost filled, not one kid could tell me four of the most well-known songs, what they meant. And I'm going to show you this morning. How many here have heard a song that was out about a year ago called Hotel California? Believe me, we won't throw you out if you lift your hand. Okay. Now somebody, including the teenagers, and not if you were in chapel, no cheating, tell me what Hotel California meant. What? Okay, like a shooting gallery or something? Yeah, okay. Somebody else? Yeah. Is it hell? She's pretty good. Not quite. Over here. I'll give you... You should listen to House of Rising Sun. Okay. Has anybody heard the song, that album by Carole King called Tapestry? Somebody tell me what the song on there, Way Over Yonder, meant. Okay, I'll give you a more recent one. How about Elton John's Beyond the Yellow Brick Road? What's it mean? Anybody else know what it means? Can anybody tell me any song that Elton John sung, what it means? The reason for all this is, how many CBers do we have here today? Oh, come on. I won't ask you to burn your CB. Come on. Okay. Now listen. According to everybody except the English teachers, the CBers talk in English. But unless you know what their code words are, that's a whole different world. I mean, they can sit there, and some truckers can talk so good for 2 hours that you don't even know what they've said so far. I mean, there's a smoky Tijuana taxi, a local yokel county mountie down the road, you know, 10-4, all this stuff. Unless you know what the code words are, they can really run a conversation on you that you have no idea what they're talking about. All right, within the occult world, you are very carefully schooled in what, for slang, all slang purposes, I guess, would say, witch language. These are words that Webster's can give you a definition to, that the witches have a total different definition to when they say it. Elton John has said, I have never written a song or sung a song that was not in the language of my religion. And many times he said that he belongs to Wicca or witchcraft. When Kiss held a news conference about 9 months ago in Hollywood, they had to hold one because there was such an outroar over an album that's probably the biggest selling album that has come out since the Beatles. It's called Destroyer. Because the song on there said, children, rise up and kill your parents while they sleep. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know much about programming, people, or not, or deprogramming, or anything like this. You really should. Because as you listen to it, whether your children take this song serious or not, there's the mind, there's the front mind, and there's the subconscious. And the subconscious is like a computer. You can feed it information, and it will store it and react to it later. And these songs are programming these thoughts into your kids. And you may think you've got some loving kids, but someday you might tell them, no, you can't have the keys to the car. And who knows what happens after they listen to the song a couple times. Now, I'm very serious about this. At this press conference, somehow the press conference got away from the album, The Destroyer. I think they must have did it on purpose. And they asked several things of Kiss, and somehow it came out that, sorry, girls, but Kiss isn't interested in you. They like your boyfriend. They're all homosexuals. And the news conference went on and said, the reporter said, we'd like to know how you got together. Did you go to school together and all this? And they said, oh, no, no. We were ordered to be formed. And the reporter said, what do you mean, ordered? You mean The record company wanted a new record group or something, so they ordered you, and he said no. And they all got in their billfold, somewhere in those costumes I think they wear, and got this little green card out about so big. And it says, Ordained Minister, Satanic Brotherhood of America, Satan's Church. Now, they don't say minister in the occult world, they say priest. And the witch word for priest is king. And they said, we're not KISS. That's not the name of our group. When we signed a contract, and their contract doesn't say KISS, they had to sign the contract by the real group's name. They said they would not allow us to put the name of our group on the record album. And when they said the name of their group, I could understand why. They said KISS is the first letter of each word of our name, the abbreviation of our name. Our name is King in Satanic Service. That's the name of KISS. Their own words. Now that gives you an idea of what the real rock world is like. And that's not just KISS, because they have funny looking costumes. When I was in the occult world, I hope I got about 5 more minutes. 15, great. I'm going to need every minute of it. When I was in the occult world, one of the jobs that I had was manager of Zodiac Productions. Now, I don't know if we have any experts on conglomerates in here, but Zodiac Productions is one of the largest in the world. It owns most of the record producing companies, most of the concert booking agents, it produces all of the rock television shows on television, like American Bandstand, Saturday Night Special, Soul Train, and so on. And I had to be the managing president of it, because it's owned by Brenner Enterprises, which is an Illuminati organization, so I had to run everything, since their headquarters was in the city that I lived in, San Antonio. So I got to know, because of people coming in and signing the contracts and so on, I got to know many of the groups that existed then, and most of the people still sang, just under other names now, of course. Led Zeppelin is still around, and Grand Funk and Earth, Wind & Fire and so on, Santana, Three Dog Night still exists. But many of the others have either changed their name or went into other groups. Well, one of the top groups that existed then, I became very good friends of, because I was a revolutionist anyway, and that they were. And this is called Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Evidence. Neil Young is on his own singing nice calm songs today that are occult songs instead of the revolutionary songs he used to sing. But David Crosby became a pretty good friend of mine. I saw David recently. I couldn't even believe how much he'd changed, how much of the hair he'd lost and so on. The man's doing $200 a day with the cocaine. And I looked at him and it became very real. If Jesus had to save me and I was doing $150 a day 5.5 years ago with speed, I wouldn't be alive today. And it became a very real fact with me. And I talked to Dave, I took him aside, had his girlfriend go off somewhere and do some Christmas shopping. It was the day before Christmas. I started talking to him. I asked him some questions, which I'm going to have to explain to you after I give you this conversation what it means, unless you know anything about the record business. I said, David, do they still take the master to the temple room? And he said, yes. I said, does the priesthood or the coven still conjure into the master? He said, yes. I said, David, what is the main reason for rock music today? He said, Lance, which is my occult name, said, Lance, you know what that reason is. I said, look, I've been out 5.5 years, man. You tell me what it is today. He says, so we can cast spells on the people that we can't cast spells on. I said, all right, one last question. What is the qualification today to be in rock music? He says, you have, as of 3 years ago, you have to prove, before you can sign the contract to do a record or hold a concert tour, you have to prove that you have been initiated into one of the brotherhoods. No exception, people. No exception. So later, in the third service, when all the questions start arising, don't ask me, is this one or that one? It's a nice, clean-cut, all-American kid. I'll tell you how a nice, clean-cut, all-American witch they are. The Master is a tape about the size of this podium. It's a 16-track cartridge, very heavy, that the album is produced on. All the recordings done, and it's taken and inserted in a machine which presses the records and duplicates the 8 tracks in the cassette. Now, in all of the main record companies, they have a room about the size of this church that's kept locked. That is a permanent temple room with an altar in the north of the room and a pentagram or temple carved into the floor. And when the Master is done off of a tape, this is the reason that you can record an album and it may be 6 months before the album gets out. They hold the cartridge till the full moon and take it in and call a coven together, and a coven comes in of a very high rank with very special knowledge and conjures. That means calling forth a demon till it is in a physical touching state. And they use a principality or a power, something of very high rank, usually Regis. And they order this demon, in the name of Lucifer, to order all of the smaller demons under it to heed to this spell. And the spell would be that for every record and album that comes off of that Master, a demon is to enter it and go wherever it goes. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, that's fine. It still happens. And your unbelief isn't going to chase the demon out one bit. Now, listen to me a minute. That crack that he made about casting a spell on the ones you couldn't cast on, he meant you. Most of you witches would have a field day with because of the life that you live when you leave this church. Well, at least half of you. But half of you would not. They don't pull punches at all. Half of you would not, and you could ward off anything that would just bounce. So witches don't like to fool with you because anything they cast on you, they'll get back 3 times what they sent out. So they don't like casting on you. But they'll let you cast on yourself. They record the spell. And you don't understand spells very well, so you don't understand that can be done, but they record the spell on the album and send the album out with you, and you play the spell over and over and over again. Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, Hotel California, way over yonder, Tapestry, the double white album of the Beatles, Two-Way Street by Crosby, Still, Nash & Young were some of the strongest spell albums ever created. And why you couldn't understand what they were saying was because they carefully coded the message. The charismatic's not the only ones that talk in tongues. Now listen to me. That's rock music. If it wasn't so disastrous to your life, we wouldn't have become so afraid when ministers started throwing it out the back door and holding record burning. I was still in the occult then, and man, talk about fear. How did they catch on to what we were doing? Most of them didn't. They just knew by the Spirit of God that that stuff was wrong. That's why people who never hear a message on rock music that are strong Christians that grow up in the Lord throw the music out. They can't be strong and keep the music in their home. It's impossible. Now, there's a man named Chuck Smith, Costa Mesa, California, Calvary Chapel pastor. When Chuck was just getting started and the occult world was in utter fear that they were going to lose their main war element against the Christian church, they paid Smith $8 million because I delivered a $4 million cashier's check from the Bank of America to him personally. What's the beepers? Somebody's got a beeper on. Oh, thank you. That's why I don't like recorders or anything. They delivered the check to him, and I delivered a second check to him to start Maranatha Productions, which started Jesus Rock Music. We have a training school, a couple of them around the country, that's based like on the KGB training schools, where they'll take very intelligent witches and they'll put them through the training school and teach them how to be a Christian. And you put them next to a real Christian, they'll look better than the real Christian. They did this with a couple of groups that were getting ready, that had just signed some contracts with a record company. They were getting ready to come out as a big rock group. And they tore up the contract and said, we're going to put you over in this training school. We'll train you as a Christian, which they did. Gave them the Chuck Smith, and they came out. and you bought their record album like they were hotcakes. They were called Children of the Day and Love Songs. You're in a real war, and they've been moving you around like pawns. Now, one last thing before we get out of here. We all know what those are. They're stars, right? Okay.
Grab one in, Pastor. I'll grab one in.
You all know what they are, the stars. We all know one of them is the Star of David. It's a nice Christian symbol. All the occult books sell it. Occult bookstores sell it, yeah. All the Christian bookstores sell it. There's about four other symbols that I'm going to describe. Parents, the most powerful item in witchcraft. The first thing a witch must buy or manufacture before they can even be initiated, their first act of witchcraft, is to make what they call their talismans or amulets. Witchcraft spells can't be practiced without them. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by men. No argument there from any fundamentalist Christian. That stuff was inspired thousands of years ago at the direct inspiration of demons and Lucifer through people's hands to make witchcraft a stronger practice. After I got out, the occult got a brainstorm. What better way to tear down a Christian spiritual prayer life by hanging our most demonic, inspired items on their earlobes, on their fingers, and around their neck and let them carry it with them all the time, particularly the young people. So through a nice Illuminatus company named Avon and federal department stores which own Sears and Penney's and Gold Circles and other places, and through a Standard Oil company named Montgomery Ward, they distributed this stuff into your hands. To open an Avon catalog now is like going shopping in an occult bookstore. You couldn't buy that stuff 5 years ago unless you were a witch, except maybe the Star of David. You couldn't buy it unless you went to an occult store and proved that you were a member of a coven or about to be one. And yet you can buy it everywhere today. It's not innocent. It attracts demons worse than rock music does. The five point of star means Lucifer with one point up. It means white witchcraft. With two points up, it means Satan. It also means the eastern star. The six-pointed star is the worst symbol in witchcraft. It has to be present in a ceremony or a demon will not appear. It's what attracts the demon to manifest. It originally was called the hexagram. And I'm sure everybody here knows what to hex somebody means. And that's where it got its name from. Not the star, the hex somebody got its name from the star. Another one means that you worship the sun god Ra, which is the Egyptian name for Lucifer. It's called the Ankh. Christian bookstores are selling it as a cross of life. I don't know how they got it, because it claims that you believe in reincarnation. It claims many other things, and it claims that you worship Lucifer. It's the cross with the loop on the top of it. One of the ones that Christians are wearing everywhere. I've seen them in this school and around Christians' necks every place I go, more than probably the five-pointed star. And that is the unicorn's horn. They now call it the Italian horn. It was created in Ireland and Scotland by Druid witches, and it means that you pray to the devil to supply your finances. That's that little cute curved horn that everybody wears.